Okay, if you would turn to 1 John 3:22. I have something I want to share tonight that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about lately. He's been challenging me with this verse. It's one verse that's been on my mind, gosh, for the last couple of months, and I can't get away from it, and it's bugging me. So I've said, I guess I'll teach on it. I'll be teaching it to myself as much as to you, because there's a mighty challenge in this verse. And in some ways, I think this might be what the Lord is saying to us as a body, encapsulated in this verse. Jesus. 1 John 3:22, it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." He does go on to say, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Can you imagine seeing the fruition of this verse in your life? That whatsoever you ask, you receive of him? Now, you need to clarify what that means. Flip the page over. Chapter 5:14 clarifies, in case you're sitting, "Yeah, man, whatever I ask," and visions of sugar plums are dancing in your head. No, let's look at what he's referring to in chapter 5:14. He says, "And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him." Okay, turn back to 1 John 3:22. So he clarifies what he's talking about is according to his will. Okay? He's not just saying, whatever you ask. There's a lot of false teaching out there. A lot of teaching along the line of the faith movement, prosperity, that you can have anything you ask for. Well, I beg to differ. A lot of what you have. In fact, James says, "You have not because you ask amiss." He says, "You ask to consume upon your lusts." So there are some things we can ask for. God's contrary to the will of God. Can any man? And, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for certain material things that may or may not be the will of God. That's okay. You can't be assured you'll have it if you don't know if it's the will of God. Hello? But there's a promise here that whatever we ask, we shall receive. And I looked it up in the Greek, and that's the same way it says in the Greek. It doesn't, there's no clauses in there or, you know, little innuendos of the conditions. This is pretty blank. Whatever you ask, you receive. If it's according to his will, whatever you ask, you shall receive. Because you do two things. You keep his commandments, and you do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, this is the challenge. If we're asking according to his will and we're not receiving, could there be a reason we're not receiving when we ask according to his will? And could it be found in this verse? If we, whatever we ask, we shall receive because we keep his commandments and do what's pleasing. Could the corollary not follow that we're not receiving what we ask because we're not keeping his commandments, or maybe we're not doing what's pleasing in his sight? See, he gave, there are some promises that I know are his will. You know what one of them is? "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with," amen? "They shall cast out, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall," there's another place that said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Pray for the sick." Is that what it says? Come on, work with me here. Matthew 10. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Pray for the sick. Is that what it says? It doesn't say pray for the sick. It says heal the sick. It says minister to the lepers and pray for them and provide shelter for them and be sure to try to get them admitted to leper colonies. Is that what it says? What does it say? Cleanse the lepers. It says, and cast out devils. And it says, when someone's dead, be sure to go and mourn with their family and give a good eulogy at their funeral. What does it say? Raise the dead. Hello? Is it God's will that we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Now, we've discovered something over the years. I found a principle that when I lay hands on the sick and they don't recover, I have every reason to ask why. Because the scripture says you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So when they don't recover, I say why. For instance, a sister we just mentioned has serious illness, critical. And we lay hands on her in faith, fasting and praying in faith, asking the Lord to heal her with anointing of oil, which is biblical. Amen. And she has not recovered. So you know what I've done then? I said, why? So then I ask the person often, and I believe the reason someone not recovering could be either an issue where the conduit is jammed in their life or it's jammed in mine. There's a reason. I really believe the promise is you shall lay the hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they don't recover, there may be a reason they're not recovering. It may be the Holy Ghost is wanting to do something else so that the anointing can flow to heal them. Amen? There may be some unforgiveness in their life. Amen? They may be hanging on to bitterness or resentment or judgment against somebody. That's going to block the movement of the Spirit. Can you hear an amen? There may be curses operative in their life. There may be areas where they've given ground to the devil. So, you know, the place of deliverance has everything to do with laying hands on the sick, because when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. When they don't recover, we have every reason to say, why, Lord? Come, Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. And that's what the gifts are. The gifts of discernment, knowledge, words of knowledge, wisdom, to give us revelation on why the conduit, is the anointing is not flowing. Amen? So a lot of times it's coming upon us to pray for the sick and then ask the Lord why. Because sometimes he wants to heal from the inside out. But I always believe it's his will to heal. I do. It is his absolute will to heal. He died on the cross so we should all be totally healed. Now, the full fruition of that will occur on the back end on the other side. Did you know that? When we raise from the dead, our resurrection bodies, when you raise from the dead, your eternal glorified body. Do you know that's because Jesus died on the cross? Amen? Your glorified body will be because Jesus died on the cross. You will be experienced total healing for eternity because Jesus died. But what we have in this dispensation is called the first fruits of the Spirit. All right? The earnest of the Spirit, he says in earnest money. Like put earnest money down before you buy a house. It's the earnest of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of the Holy Spirit. The powers of the world to come now. And so we can expect the Holy Spirit to move when we lay hands on the sick. Amen? So we've really dealt with the issue and explored it and experienced it and have a certain level of wisdom, hopefully, on learning to hear from the Holy Spirit what's necessary in the life of the person we're praying for. But you know what I'm addressing here tonight is the other side of the coin. It's us. Because sometimes the person we're praying for, there may not be any blockage in their conduit. There may be every reason the Holy Ghost can flow. They're not the problem. I am. Because what does it say? Whatever you ask, we receive. Amen? Because why? We do what? Keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing. Now, he goes on to say what the commandment is. In the next verse, he says, in case you're confused, the commandment is twofold, to believe on Jesus Christ and to love your brother. Right there, we see some of the things that are displeasing. You know the things that can cause you and I to prevent the anointing from flowing? Is we don't love. It's that simple. when we bitter and resentful and hanging on to our hurt, judging and gossiping and despising and blah, 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 blah. Amen? Jams it up right there. Now look at, I'm going to show you three verses real fast in Matthew. Matthew 3:16. You heard of John 3:16? Here's Matthew 3:16. Jesus modeled what it meant to be pleasing to the Father. I think we ought to look at the life of Jesus, because Jesus, whatever he asked, he received. Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what?" Well, please. We receive of him because we do the things, commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, this is the first time in the history of the universe, at this moment, in front of John the Baptist, the first time in the history of the universe that God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were manifest. It's the first time that all of who God was manifest in one place where someone could see it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, chapter 12, verse 18. The prophet talked about Jesus. 12:17, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant," verse 18, "my chosen, my beloved," and this is God the Father saying, "in whom my soul is what? Well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him. He'll show judgment to the Gentiles." Now look at chapter 17, verse 5. Jesus was up on a mountain, the transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And while they were there, verse 5, "While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" We see a testimony three times in the book of Matthew alone that God was well pleased with Jesus. That Jesus was pleasing to the Father. Now look at Jesus' testimony, John 8:29. This is what Jesus had to say. It says, 8:29, John, "He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone." Look at this. "For I do always those things that" what? "Please him." See, Jesus had a passion to please his Father. He said, "I do always those things that please him." The principle was the same for Jesus as for us. Did you know Jesus operated in the same way we can operate? He said, "It's easy for Jesus. He was God, man. He could do anything." Do you know he said, "The things I do, you shall do also"? In fact, did you know Jesus was limited under the constraints of the Holy Spirit, just as we are? He operated by Acts 10:38, says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He was operating in the gifts and healing and deliverance and walking on water and stopping storms and raising the dead under the power of the Holy Ghost. And they couldn't wait to get to heaven. That's what he said in John, "I can't wait there, because when I come, it's expedient for you to go away. Because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. You're going to get to have what I have. And you're going to be able to do what I do. In fact, greater things you're going to do." The whole reason he came down was to model it. Go up there and said, "Now you do it. You all got it." See, in the Old Testament, only certain people had the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of the Lord fell down on the 70 elders, to share the burden with Moses. Oh, Nadab and Abihu were outside the camp, and they were prophesying, and somebody ran to Moses, I think it was Joshua, and said, "Lord, Lord, they're prophesying not with our crowd." And he said, "Why are you envying?" He said, "Would God, the Lord, would put the Spirit on all those people." That's what Moses said. Isn't that interesting? He said, "Why are you envying? I wish God would put his Spirit on everybody." It was like he was prophesying at Pentecost. That's what Joel said. "One day God's going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And that's what really Pentecost is all about. The Spirit is all poured out on everybody. That means if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can do anything that Jesus did. Because we operate under the constraints of the Holy Spirit, just as he did. Jesus was totally sold out, devoted, consecrated to the task. So as a result, whatever Jesus asked, he received. Whatever he asked, he received, according to his will. When Jesus laid hands on the sick, they were recovered. You know, when Jesus spoke to the storms, when he spoke to the devils, when a creative miracle, a supernatural, it came to pass. He walked in a realm where that scripture was operative. The thing's been challenging me, like I said, this thing's been on my mind for the last few months. Whatever you ask, you shall receive, because you keep his commandments, you do those things that are pleasing. And the thing the Holy Ghost has been saying, well, maybe I'm not receiving because I'm not living pleasing. Maybe there's something in my life is not pleasing to the Lord to the degree that would afford the release of the anointing and the handle of power where whatever I ask I could receive. So it behooves me to look to my soul. Can you understand? Where am I displeasing to the Lord? Because the evidence is there. What's the evidence? I don't get whatever I ask. When I ask, I don't always receive. That's the evidence. How many of y'all, whatever you ask, you receive every time when it's the will of God? Have you ever thought that you might be the problem? How many would like to have the passion Jesus said, I do only the things that please my Father? He was consecrated. His passion was to please the Father. To the point he was greatly tempted, you know, in Gethsemane. But he just in the face said, no, man, I am absolutely purposed to please the Father. And as a result, whatever he asked, he received. What a blessing. So what I thought, we'd look at a couple of verses of what is it the Scripture says about what pleases God. Let's just look at the Scripture. Hebrews 11:5. Let's just look right at a couple of verses. Maybe this will ferret out what the problem is, why whatever we ask, we don't always receive. Let the Spirit convict us. Here, Enoch. Enoch was a very unique guy. Did you know the Bible says he pleased God? Look at this. Enoch 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death, and was not found because God translated before his testimony. His translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God because he was pleasing to God. Guess what? He lived 365 years, and that was just adolescence in those days. I think he was the seventh from Adam. I mean, you know, Methuselah lived almost 900, you know, the average age of a man was almost a millennium. Man, this guy, what happened with Enoch, he walked with God. One day he was out walking, talking, fellowshipping with the Lord God. And the Lord looked over him and said, you know, Enoch, we're a little bit closer to my house than yours. Come on in. And he just walked right into heaven, didn't even die. You know, there's only a couple people in heaven still got their bodies. You know that? And he's one of them. And what was his testimony? Because he pleased God. His passion was to please the Lord. As a result, he had whatever he asked. To the point where he just literally was translated. That's what King James uses. Interesting verse, word. Just walked right into heaven. Look at the next verse. But without faith, it's impossible to what? For he that comes to God must believe he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, the definition of faith is in this verse. Think about it. The definition of faith is right in this verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Okay, he's saying you've got to have faith to please the Lord. What's faith? Well, he goes on to say, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of what? You know, that's what faith is. Faith is diligently seeking. Faith's not some kind of formula or some kind of ooey-gooey feeling or some kind of concept. Faith is action. Faith is what you do. In fact, James has a whole chapter, faith without works is dead. Faith is action. Faith is what you do. People would come up to Jesus, you know, didn't know him from Adam. Funny. Jesus didn't. And they'd come up and he'd say, your faith has saved you. What do you mean by faith? I didn't make any profession. I didn't confess the creed. No, it's what you did. You know, blind Bartholomew screamed his name, Jesus, have mercy. He said, your faith has saved you. Little woman, touch the hem of his garment. Your faith has saved you. Guys lowered this guy through the roof, remember? Your faith has saved you. Well, it was what they did. Well, guess what? Here we have a secret, a clue of where we may not be pleasing the Lord, because what pleases God is faith, and what faith is to diligently seek him. Diligent seekers, inconsistency, haphazard quitters don't please the Lord. People that are inconsistent and don't have commitment, trust me, that's not pleasing to the Lord. I've found over the years that the average believer is not consistent. You know, it's interesting that one of the problems with parenting, parents really mess up when they're inconsistent with their kids. When you say one thing 1 week or 1 month, and then you change and you bend based upon circumstance or emotion, your kids don't have any fence. There's no parameters. There's an inconsistency. Same thing with the Lord. Same with discipleship. You've got to have a locked-in, passionate. You've got to have a rule of law. You know what held the light of God all through the dark ages? For 1,000 years, the gospel was held, frankly, in the monastic communities all through the dark ages. And you know why? If you study monasticism, which really where the monks copied the scriptures and stayed true to some degree to the orthodoxy of the faith, you know what they followed? The rule of law. The Benedictine rule, the Franciscan rule. There was rules. There was could rule. If you want to be a monk, you got up under a commitment. You made a commitment. An absolute, diehard, life-changing commitment. And it was the commitment that held true. We've tended to lose that notion of commitment in our American culture. You know? Inconsistency, haphazard quitters. That's unpleasing of the Lord. The Lord is pleased with those that say, I will and I will continue no matter what happens. I will not stop. I will press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. I will never stop. Come, the gates of hell will not prevail against me stopping my commitment to Jesus. Man, I tell you what, that's pleasing the Lord. And those are hard to find. Committed people. Amen? Well, there's the first hint we have. Whatever we ask, we receive, but keep his commandments or do the things that are pleasing in sight. One thing that's pleasing in sight, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes in must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. He will reward diligent seeking. I know. I'm a diligent seeker. I always have been. It's just in my bones. It's in my family. Praise God. I got a bunch of junk. But that's one good thing came down the family line. Praise God. You know, we talk about family line curses. We got family line blessings. Amen? I had my back full of problems. But thank God that came down the family line. I have some of my siblings, you know, in the world, they're very, very successful. Very successful. Because the principle of consistency and commitment and lack it in is in the fat warp and woof of my family line. And you know what? People succeed. And that's always been my... I don't understand how people can run a 50-yard dash and not go across country. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. What else is there? Why would you want to get off the road? Jesus is the answer. It's eternity, man. It's life's poop. Why get it? What a stupid thing to squander eternity for... Can I amen? I just don't understand. We need to all have areas in our life that we just really are so sold out. We don't understand anything else. Can I amen? We just don't understand. We don't judge. We just don't understand. I don't understand why somebody can start saying, well, I'm going to get up, meet with the Lord every morning, and 2 weeks later they won't do it anymore. Or I'm going to do this, and 3 weeks later, a month later, when it gets hard, they quit. This business I have, part-time business helping people with their finances and stuff. We have a saying around the company. And I absolutely know it's true. You will absolutely succeed as long as you don't quit. And there's a lot of people. And there's a curve, just like any business. There's a curve. Every business has a curve. You know, if you go start a dry cleaner business, or you go start any kind of business, did you know there's going to be a period in which things, money doesn't roll in? There's going to be a period in which you have to work long hours. There's going to be a period where things seem like it's getting worse before it gets better. Can't imagine. That's true with everything. And quitters go, oh, it's not being instantly blessed. I can't handle it. But, you know, if you don't quit, you will win. You will. You cannot be defeated as long as you don't quit. And in the kingdom, the gates of hell will come against you. Oh, I know. But as long as you got your eyes on Jesus, well, Lord, just going to keep on pressing on. Amen? Y'all with me today? Folks, that's pleasing to the Lord. The Lord's looking for that. The eyes at 2 Chronicles, what is it? Gosh, 15-something. Second, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro across the earth to show himself strong to them whose heart 2 Chronicles 16:9, to them whose heart is perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord look to and fro to show himself strong. God will show up with power to those that are committed. That's what it says. If you're locked in. And I'm committed. I'm going to preach the gospel till I die. Or get raptured. And I hope I get raptured. The ultimate light show, the second coming. Amen. I used to like to see laser light shows when I was in the world. You ever saw those light shows? I'm dating myself now. The Allman Brothers Band, 1969, at the warehouse. Near, are they still around? Light shows. Then I got saved and threw all that behind me. But there's a light show coming. Can that amen? Jesus said, as the lightning shines from the east to the west. Amen? It's going to be a laser blast. How about chapter 13, verse 15 in Hebrews? What else is pleasing to the Lord? Look at this verse. By him, therefore, chapter 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Look at this. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and communicate with such, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. There we go. A testimony of what pleases the Lord. Now let's break this down. First of all, he says, praise and thanksgiving, sacrificial praise and thanksgiving. The sacrifice of praise, that pleases God. It's always easy to praise God when our brother's up here doing the music and it's a good chorus we all like. Amen? How about when everything's hitting the fan? Middle of the week? You know, you're just frustrated about this, you're late here, you just got a bill, you go, oh my God, how am I going to pay this? And you just got in a fight with somebody and, you know, all the pressure's hitting you. Can you praise the Lord then? Sacrifice of praise is what it's all about. You know, I'm so grateful. Today, the Lord is so good. I was just praising him up here. I was thanking the Lord that I've learned to hear his voice. I was saying again, Lord, I am so grateful. The ability to hear his voice is worth more than wisdom and jewels to me. It has gotten to the point on a given day that if I'm troubled about anything, anything is causing me to be anxious or troubled about anything, I have learned how to have peace. That's cool. Man, that's worth serious money. That's worth unbelievable. But I've learned. This morning, I was troubled about a situation. And it just was disturbing me. And I had a lot to do today. And I couldn't focus because I was troubled. I would do it, but you know how you keep, like, having a tooth that's loose. You know, you can't keep your tongue out of it. You know what I'm talking about? It keeps coming back to it. So finally the Holy Ghost said to me, hello, praise me. Oh. So I leaned back in the chair and I just began to sing in the Spirit. For about 5 minutes, that's all. It was 5 minutes. Singing in the Spirit, worshiping the Lord. And got still, and he spoke. And I had the peace that passes understanding. And I knew, oh, this is going to happen. Good. I don't have to worry. Did you know the Spirit has come to show us things to come? Amen? Do you ever heard of the verse, be anxious for nothing? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can you hear an amen? There it is! What a wonderful promise! Man, that's worth a lot. Sacrifice of praise. See, but it's when you're troubled. That's when you go to Him and worship Him. Because you're rising above the emotions in your spirit. They that worship Him must worship Me in spirit and truth, not feelings. And then you'll hear His voice. And boy, it's great. When I hear Him, I've learned that voice. I tell you, His mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely, Song of Solomon says. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, Psalm 85, where He will speak peace to His people. I know the voice. And when I hear it, oh, it releases and registers. And then the demon always, because you know the demon's always behind the voice. Always, whenever there's the voice, there's always the demon a few minutes later. Or if you're always there, and it counters the voice. The peace comes, the joy, the assurance, the revelation of what's going to come so you can have peace. Then the demon comes and says, "Why ain't gonna happen. Nah, 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 nah." Hello? And I mean, I literally know the demon's going to come after the voice of peace from Jesus. So I'm just learning, oh, there you are. Okay, no, you're allowed to go in Jesus' name. Hello? You see what I'm saying? We're not ignorant of His devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest he should get advantage. I know His devices. Amen? So when you got the voice of peace and the God gives you the revelation, just sit there and wait a second. Okay, I'll wait. Demon will be here in a second. There it is. The unbelief, the fear, what you heard wasn't God. Whatever he says, come. Okay, demon, are you done? Go in Jesus' name. That! And you're fine. Amen? Like clockwork, that's what they get paid to do. What's the next thing? Verse 16. But to do good. You know what the Greek for that is? I can't say the Greek word, but it means well-doing. Upio. You know what that means? You want to know what pleases God? To do something. We're not saved to sit. You know, you're saved by grace, you're going to be judged by works. I'm sorry. We're saved by grace, but we are going to be judged by works. And you know what? It's going to be a terror. Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because we receive in our body the things we've done, good or bad. We will reap for eternal ages, trillions of years from now, trillions of years. We'll reap the consequence or the blessing of our choices in this life. That's the truth. We're going to be judged by works. What you do is going to be judged. It behooveth us to do. Can you hear an amen? With well-doing. To be about doing good. Now that doesn't mean go out and you have to wait around for little ladies to help them cross the street. I mean, it doesn't mean go work up. It means walk in the Spirit. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power who went about doing good. And what is doing good? Healing all that were oppressed to the devil. That's doing good. Amen? I was thinking the other day, even as things work for my business, I've seen business that when I'm in a public place and just start talking to people, asking questions, being friendly, suddenly needs come up with a business. You know, the same things with the kingdom. Exactly the same thing. It's all about just being friendly and loving to people, wherever you are. Just open up. You know, you ever go to the store and the poor clerk's there, just person after person all day long, and they're just checking you out. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to say, you having a good day? You look tired. Anything I pray for you about? You look wiped out. You know, you'd be amazed. I'm serious. You see something like that, they'll look at you. First, they'll look at you like they can't believe what they're hearing. And then they'll sigh. And they'll say, yeah, pray for my daughter. And you find out that lady been staying there all day long worrying about her daughter. Trying to be nice. And all, her daughter's on her heart. Has this ever happened to you? So what's with the daughter? Got other people in line? You know, well, forget them. A woman told me about her daughter. You know, while I'm taking a lot of time writing out my check, you know, because I'm listening to the lady about her daughter. And she's telling me about her daughter. Well, she's just, you know, in the hospital. My kid. He said, ma'am, I will pray for your daughter. What's her name? Amen? Do you know that's doing good? You know Jesus likes that kind of thing? You know, that woman's going to, something lifts off of her. In fact, you can walk away. I've literally said, look, tell you what, when do you get a break? you know, if I'm going to be in the store later, we need to have a break. I'll meet you over there where you they have your break. Can I pray for you? I mean, it blows them away. Usually it doesn't work because they're not going to get a break for a couple of hours. But just the fact that I offered, I mean, something, oh, I'm loved. There's a God in the universe. You know, God loves that. You know how much God loves that? You talk about a ray of light shining from heaven on you. Favor of the Lord. Why? Because you love the poor. You reached out to the needy and the hurting. Can I amend tonight? This is what pleases the Lord. And look, to do good, and the next word is for to communicate. You know what that is in the Greek? Koinonia. Koinonia. We have our men's and women's group called Koinonia. You know what that word means? Close, intimate, sharing, and communion. Again, these things, sacrifices. By the way, it says with such sacrifices. It takes sacrifice to do good. You know, the Good Samaritan, he was probably just as busy as the Levi and the priest. They were all in a hurry to go somewhere. When that guy was half dead, the Levi and the priest were in a hurry and they just jumped over the guy and went on. The Good Samaritan probably had just as much business. But he was willing to sacrifice and be, interrupted to love. And boy, Jesus said, man, that guy, he's the one. Amen? It takes a sacrifice. You know, I think we have no problem sacrificing if you understand how the universe works. The way the universe works is you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the Lord comes back and does everything else. He will fill for instance, you say, well, I got all these things I have to do for me and my kids and my family and, you know, my business and whatever. So, you know what? And you got all those hours. If you say, Lord, I want to do your kingdom first. I want to be more available to help the hurting and needy and cast away first. I got to do the other things, but I'm available. Do you know if you will do that and get out of yourself and sacrifice and love and get out and pray and minister and offer? Do you know the time remaining, you will get twice as much done as you would have? I don't know how he does it, but he suddenly, there's a ray of heaven and everything flows and works and just falls together and you can accomplish far more, far quicker because you sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what, and everything. Hello? That's how it works. That's how the universe works. Seek first the kingdom and loving. And trust me, what's left, God will fit it all in. Let's go to the next one now. Micah 6. We're looking at the things that please the Lord so that whatever we ask, we shall receive. Micah 6, 7. Y'all know where Micah is? It's real easy. It's right before Nahum. Just find Nahum and go back a book. I'm sorry. You say, where's Nahum? Well, right after Jonah. Which is right after Obadiah. Anyway, back there in the Old Testament near the end. Micah 6. I've been teaching every week for 24 years, and I have never taught on this verse. And I was thinking, this is one of the most common verses I've never taught on in 24 years. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Obviously, Mike is asking, what's going to please the Lord? Remember, we're talking about pleasing the Lord. Is he going to be pleased with it? No. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires. This is what pleases the Lord. Isn't this cool? Right here, he encapsulates it. Remember, whatever we ask, we receive, and we do what's pleasing. Here it is. Number one, to do justly. Now, I want to go through this real quick. In the Hebrew, you know what that word is? Mishpat means to execute. I cannot read my writing. To execute, oh, here, there it is. A fair, just verdict and judgment in a situation. That's what it means, to do justly. In other words, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God loves, if you want to be pleasing to the Lord, you will love righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It's integrity and honesty and forthrightness and truthfulness and fairness. That's what righteousness is. You want favor of the Lord? You will walk in integrity and uprightness and truthfulness and fairness. You won't fudge. You won't cheat. You won't lie to yourself. You won't lie to others. If you lie or you have a lie in your heart, trust me, that's not pleasing to the Lord, and you will not have what you ask. God wants honesty, truth in the inward parts. Amen? Psalm 15 says, a man that swears to his own hurt and changes not. That God loves integrity to the point where you're willing to lose to the loss and ruin of all things so that you can hang on to your word. Man, that's wise. That's great. That's what the Lord's looking for. I really believe the conditions to receive whatever you ask according to his will is all about discipleship. If you love righteousness. What's the next thing? Love mercy. The Hebrew there, I don't know how to check head. It literally means mercy, kind. These are the words, that Hebrew word is translated these ways. Mercy, kindness, goodness, favor, kindly, loving kindness. That's how it's translated. In other words, another thing that is pleasing is when your heart is you love mercy. You err on the side of being merciful and forgiving and releasing and blessing and loving your enemies and doing good to those that hurt you and pray for those that despise you. This pleases the Lord. When we love our enemies, we don't harbor hurts and, you know, sit there and sulk, think about how we can get them. Oh, man. Talk about block off the anointing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive what? The flip is, judge not lest you, whatever measure you meet, it's going to come. So the Lord loves mercy. The heart of the Lord is mercy. The heart of the Lord is mercy. Man, I'm glad. And what's the third thing? And to walk humbly with thy God. The Hebrew there, sana, means lowly, humility. In other words, get off your high horse. Most misery is rooted in self-pity and pride. These are the things that please the Lord. Here's another one. One or two more before we close tonight. 2 Timothy 2. I'm just looking in the scripture at the things that are pleasing to the Lord so that whatever we ask, we shall receive. Liz, the reason it's been bugging me is I've been telling the Lord this. I said, Lord, I want my life and my ministry to be that when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I got this deliverance thing down, okay? Been doing that for 20 years. I understand deliverance. I've been invited to minister in different places as an expert, which is a joke. I'm not an expert. But there's so few people that do it. There's so few people that do it. If you do it at all, you're an expert. You understand what I'm saying? If you write about it, you got the guts to talk about it. Oh, you must be an expert. No, I'm still a spurt. An expert comes when you quit being a spurt. Then you're an expert. But you know what? I'm a novice when it comes to healing. And I thought, okay, I'm 50 early in my early 50s. How old am I? 53? Probably got a good 25, 30 years. I've been in deliverance since 83. What's that, 93? About 22 through something. Good. I want the next bunch of years, I see just as much demonstration of power on that side as I have on the other. Amen? I mean, that's just what I decided. And you know what? I'm making a commitment. I'm locking it in. Lord, I'm tired of it. And y'all going to go with me, so whether you like it or not. Sorry, if you come to this church, that's where I'm going. This is boring. I've been bugging the Lord. He spoke to me not long ago. He says, I'm going to be shifting gears. I said, good. Drag going around in first gear. Amen. Trying to get on the freeway in first gear. At least get to second. So. But there's a greater cost. There's a greater consecration. There's a greater commitment. There's a greater requirement. And I've been taught on that a few weeks ago. Remember? Outer court, inner court. The requirements are easy. The judgments are, you know, piddly out here. You want to get in the inner court? Got to be more. It's going to cut closer to the skin. You're going to have to get on the cross. But oh, the reward, praise God, the light will shine of favor in your life. 2 Timothy 2:3. Look at this. Thou therefore endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that wars entangles them with the affairs of this life. Look at this. That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Here again, what is it that's pleasing to the Lord? That if you're a soldier, you will not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. That pleases him to not be entangled. In fact, the Greek word entangled there is empleko. It means to be entwined, caught up, or overly involved with. And listen to this. The word affairs of this life in the Greek, the word is pragmatia. It's where we get the word pragmatism or pragmatic. He says, don't be entangled with the pragmatic. It means focusing oneself with the daily deeds and issues of life. He's saying, don't get entangled with the... He's not talking about grievous sin. He's talking about you can be entangled with the daily pragmatic affairs of life. He says, if you're a soldier, you don't get caught up in that. It's not pleasing to the Lord to be focused on the dailiness of life. As everybody else did. Jesus said, the Gentiles do seek these things. What shall we eat? What shall we wear? Where shall we be? What shall we be clothed? He said, behold the birds. You know, look at the lilies. They don't fret. Your Father takes care of them. How much more will he take care of you? Oh, you have a little faith. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will toss in this stuff. There, that's Matthew 6 summed up. Amen? It's so easy to learn, lose the eternal perspective. But if you're going to be pleasing to any and all but him, you've got to be focused in the kingdom and not allow yourself to be entangled. To be entwined, caught up, or overly involved with. Obviously, we all have to pay the bills. Seems like I'm writing a bill every day all month. Because I write the bills for my house, for my church, for the church. It seems like every day I'm pulling out either the church or my, you know, and the other day I thought, I am tired of paying bills. But I will be paying bills until Jesus comes. That's part of life. Can I, amen? And I've learned, okay, if there's more month than money, I just put my hand on the checkbook, say, Jesus, it's your church. Oh, my life, my job is yours. I need you to come through. Amen? I'm trying to be a good steward the best I can. You know, he always does. Always meets the needs. It's easy to get caught up in frustration, isn't it? And got caught up in overly caught up in the affairs of life. You know what? If you've got locked in some basic disciplines, it won't happen. Seriously, just basic disciplines. Just get up every morning and spend time with Jesus. Amen? Spend time with Jesus. Worshiping the whole time. Speaking tongues. This morning I got up, had to get up real early on Fridays. We have morning prayer and I get up real early because I got to feed the animals. And I was just walking out, I was just saying Jesus and speaking in tongues. As I'm getting up, I thought, I do not want my brain to kick in this morning. I don't like what my brain does. Amen? It starts worrying about stuff and thinking about stuff. No. Shandalabakaza, Jesus. I thought about Jesus. I'm just talking slow to myself, Jesus, and speaking in tongues. And only after you do that a while can you trust the brain to go in. Can you understand? What does the brain do if you don't speak in tongues and talk about Jesus? Immediately it's, aha, today, you got to do this. Remember 10, and that's going to happen, and then this is going to happen. Oh, my God, and you didn't pay this. I mean, well, you already brushed your teeth, and you're already all freaked out about the day. Can you understand? The brain, you got like your brain is like a demon. It really is. It's like a demon. Ah, he's awake. Hit him. I'm curious. The imaginative thoughts of man's heart are only evil continually, Genesis 6:5. It's a wicked thing. Now, if you put it under the Holy Ghost, it can be a powerful thing. Seriously. The brain can be a sharp two-edged sword under the Holy Ghost. You just got to be a child and speak in tongues and say, Jesus, Jesus, I bind you, devil. Thank you, Jesus. Pray. Just under your breath. Just talking to Jesus, saying his name, speaking in tongues. Don't let the brain kick in. Are you hearing me this morning? Just don't let it kick in. The demons are trying to get your brain. Shut up. Listen to your brain. Why should I listen to my brain? Listen to the Lord. Amen. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. Amen. So it's so easy, folks, to be entangled. And the last place we're going to look tonight, believe it or not. Well, this is a short sermon. Of course, then again, I haven't gone through this verse yet. Colossians 1:9, last place. Did I tell you the title? The title tonight is Doing Those Things That Are Pleasing in His Sight. Whatever we ask, we receive. I like this verse. Colossians 1:9. Look at this. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, Paul said to the Colossians, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now King James reads, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, it reads, unto all pleasing. Is that how your versions read? Fully pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Man, you tear this verse apart. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us worthy or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, the bottom line, what I'm talking about tonight, folks, I want you to be challenged, same way the Holy Ghost has been challenging me the last few months with that verse. Whatever we ask, we receive. If it be according to his will. Whatever we ask, and I long for the day when I pray for the sick, they shall be healed. Or if they're not being healed, the Holy Ghost will speak to me when I ask why. Amen? I experience that to a degree, praise God. But there's a whole bunch of blockage in my conduit, I realized. And I said, Lord, do whatever you got to do. Whatever I got to do, where I'll be pleasing unto you. And keep your commandments. You know that whatever I ask, I shall receive. Because like I say this week after week. It seems like I always end the sermons this way. But as sure as I stand here, the day will come. One day there'll be no more Friday night service. New wine, you know, knowledge shall pass away, tongue shall cease, new wine shall end. One day, all of this is going to be a memory. Either we'll move on, you'll move on, or life will change, this country will come under some cataclysm, something's going to happen at some point. Trust me, it will. Amen? It's inevitable. We'll all die at some point. And we'll look back. And that's why I keep feeling like I have to challenge us over and over. Look, guys, it's all about eternity. Subjugate your will, your wishes, your passions, your desires to Jesus. And the irony of it all is when you lay everything at Jesus' feet, and you're willing to lose everything, he gives it back to you to such a degree you can't fathom. He says it overflows. You know that verse in Malachi where it says the windows of heaven will open upon you. I'll bring the tithes into my storehouse, for I'll open the windows of heaven. Did you know what the original Hebrew is on the back end of that verse? If you look at the King James, it's got these italicized words because they didn't know how to translate it. It says, I will open the windows of heaven to you and you will say enough. The literal Hebrew is that I will open the windows of heaven and you will go, enough, enough, stop. Really, that's what it means. Enough. Please, you've given me too much. Can you imagine? Lord, it's just too much. Just everything I ask for, I receive. This is great. Whatsoever you ask, I shall receive. You know, Lord, please, you know, it's getting too easy here. You know. Amen? Closing every sale. Every demon I cast out flees. Well, the truth is, even Jesus Christ wasn't successful in every instance. Because again, sometimes the problem was on the other party. It wasn't on him. He says the prince of this world comes as nothing in me. His conduit was always open. You understand? But there were times Jesus Christ himself laid hands, and they were not instantly healed. Pray for some blind guy. What do you see? Well, see men like big trees. Come here. Laid hands on him again. Now what do you see? Oh, okay. There's another verse said he was casting out a demon. The Greek was he was casting out the demon. And finally he had to ask the guy. You know, even Christ had to operate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit based upon. When he went to his hometown, you know, is it Nazareth? Says he couldn't heal hardly anybody except a couple of figures. He was marveled at their unbelief. So their pipeline was jammed. You know, I really believe when we lay hands on the sick, they're not all going to get healed because a lot of people that are sick have a lot of other problems and the Holy Ghost wants to heal them in other ways. Amen? But I've got to be eliminated as part of the problem. Amen? When I take myself out of the formula, out of the equation, that I'm not part of the problem, okay, that I'm doing what's pleasing in His sight and obeying His commandments, then whatever I ask, I shall receive, okay? Then if there's a problem, I know it's not me. Praise God. And I have discernment to know how to minister so the other person can get free. But first, we got to deal with us. And I suspect when we get that place, we'll see a lot more healing than we've been seeing. Lord Jesus, I pray You will challenge us. Push us out of our comfort zone. We would live pleasing unto You. There's our shared the scriptures tonight. Want us to love mercy and walk justly and walk humbly and be praising and giving, serving, sacrificial, open, accountable, loving. It just really all boils down to the name Jesus. To just be like Jesus. To just come to Jesus. And ask for the power of the Holy Ghost to flow through our life. And Holy Spirit, You're the one that convicts us of all these areas so that we can be pleasing. In fact, You're the one that's preparing us. You're the one that makes us a pleasing vessel to present to the Lord. We thank You, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, who's always at work bringing conviction. Forgive us for ignoring or shrugging off the whispers of the Holy Spirit. And then we have to have tribulation and trial to get us to hear it. Lord, make us wise. Lord, do whatever You got to do so we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover to a greater degree than we've seen, Jesus. Bring a conviction in our life. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Koshinta laki andro sotoro machiri misin. Jesus. I pray in the days, weeks, months to come, You will send people to this body that will challenge us. Push us out of our comfort zone. Stir in us a compassion we didn't know was in there. Cause us to get out of our little world. Lord, I pray You'd open our eyes when we're out in the world. On the dailiness of life. With relatives and friends and co-workers and people we see. Lord, that we would be open and loving and conversant. Lord, You'd open our eyes to the hurting people. Everybody around us is hurting. Hide behind masks. Lord, forgive us. Lord, I pray You'd nail us. You'd shine the light on areas every day we cross. We pass people every day sometimes. That certain person that the store that's always bagging and we see them. That certain waitress at that restaurant we go to all the time. That certain coworker, that certain person that works at the snack bar that we say, and they always say, I have no clue the hurt, the hurting, what's going on in their lives. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us be like Jesus. Open our heart to reach out, to say hello, to greet, to befriend, or to give a cup of cold water to the thirsty, Lord Jesus. That's pleasing to You. And Lord, You'll turn around and bless us. We'll experience You in ways we've never known. Come, Holy Spirit, break us out of our world. Y'all agree with that prayer? It's interesting, during the worship, I went to Kroger's this afternoon from work. I had to pick up something. Went home and was standing here worship. And while we were worshiping, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind, right in the middle of the worship, this guy that pushes, goes and gathers the baskets. You know, they got those guys. I've seen him 1,000 times because that's the store I always go to. And for some reason, I just saw him in my mind. And I suddenly realized, you know, I've never said anything to that guy. Never said, hey, thank you for getting the baskets. How you doing, dude? I mean, it's like the Lord just nailed me. And we need to be nailed. Can you imagine? Lord, nail me more. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, I was standing over there going, man, I'm blind. How blind we are. Lord, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Amen? I think there's a reason he put that person in my brain. And the next time I see him, I will say something. You see? Because there must be something he wants. I need to pray for him. And there's a need. I bet you there's a need there. Right? They may be getting close to being saved. I don't know. Lord, forgive me. Help me to, when I see that individual, to respond now and reach out and love on them. Be a friend. Give a greeting. And open the heart. And whatever it is you're prompting me to reach out. Because we are you out in the world. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Shine your light, Lord.